Oh, is it? Oh, my goodness. This is being recorded. Uh-oh. Now, okay, I am one from time to time, you know, if the Lord directs in a certain way. You know, the notes that you received, disregard those. Have me back another time. We'll go through that lesson. We're going to talk about chesed and connected to hospitality, but it's an Israeli thing, biblical thing in that regard. But I was asked by, directly and indirectly by a few of you this morning, and from my dear friend Rob, you know, apparently since the last time I was here, this congregation has grown. This is amazing to see. What a blessing. So what I'm going to do this morning, rather than the notes, we'll do that another time. We will show you, introduce to you what we do. And connected with something that unfortunately is growing today, this thing called anti-Semitism. But before we get started there, let me just tell you a little bit about myself. And first and foremost, Louise, if you'd be so kind to stand. This is my beloved. Yes. And we've been married, Louise and I, 43 years. 43 years, yes. 43 years. And you know, she believed all the lies I told her, you know, this sort of thing. And, oh, I wrote her poetry. Oh, man, I did. I sang songs to her. And she believed all that. And most women would have left me long ago, you know, with what I do. Anyway, we have 6 grandchildren, 2 sons, 2 adult sons, 2 lovely daughter-in-laws, and 6 grandsons for 86 years of my family. It's been all boys. On one hand, it's, you know, on the other hand, there's nothing pink or ruffly. I'm just saying, you know. And I have been a pastor for a very long time. I've been in Jewish mission work for a long time. I came to know the Lord in Canton, Ohio, influenced by some high school friends, one of whom is Rob Horger. They invited me to this Baptist congregation to hear some Jewish guy from Russia. Now, you can't make this stuff up. And if you're over 40, you may recall this guy's name. His name was Hyman Appleman. Out of curiosity, how many have heard of him? Okay, he was one of the early, Lord bless you, he was one of the early 20th century, one of the early Messianic believers in the 20th century. He was an attorney, came to know the Lord, and became a Bible teacher. And in the 90s, I had opportunity to end up in directorship in the mission that he had founded. Now, understand, ladies and gentlemen, there was a secret in my family that I did not know. There was just a secret on my mother's side of the family. A lot of whispers, and they told us we were German. And my father's side is Scandinavian, but on my mother's side, they told us that we were German. And I thought, what in the world would the secret be? I thought, you know, I'm working with Israel and Jewish people. I thought, well, what if the secret was that maybe we were Nazis? Oh, how ironic would that be? You know, because I love Israel. I'm working with Jews. Okay. So along comes Ancestry.com. Oh, man, oh, man. About 4.5 years of research. And, you know, they suck you in. They do. And you pay more to go on the next level. You know, if any of you have done that, it's like, you know, several thousand dollars later. It's like, oh, what I discovered. Okay, what I discovered, you know where I'm going to go, right? What I discovered was that back in the late 1700s, early 1800s, my great-greats, their last name was Zolman. Yeah, that was a thing. Okay, who are the Zolmans? They were landowners, okay? They were in Prussia, you know, that Eastern Europe party right up against Russia. And I'm reading this stuff, you know, I'm researching the little charts, And here is Zolman, and they had 11 kids. There were no television, you know, 11 kids. And they changed their name from Zolman to Wagner. Why would they do that? A little more research. Did I tell you they were landowners? But then I found out that they were Jewish. And you couldn't be a Jew and own land. So they changed their name to Wagner. That was the secret. Then I got to thinking about that. And then I started laughing. I see things from a peculiar angle sometimes. My father's Scandinavian, right? And it makes my mother's side of Jewish extract. So if you want to know what a Jewish Viking looks like, that's this. All right? It makes sense. Louise says, yeah, it makes sense now. You know? So that's kind of my background. I was pastor for a long time. Been in Jewish mission work for a long time. I directed Hyman Appleman's ministry, went back into the pastorate. I was miserable. It was a great church, a big church. We peaked out at 1,000, you know, Easter, you know, we peaked out at 1,000, you know. And listen, our hearts were yearning for the Jewish people. And let me just tell you a little story. And it's similar. It ties in with what is happening here. We were in San Diego, California, the congregation. Like I said, we picked out 1,000, big church, big school. We had 1,200 kids in the school. And I was the senior pastor. We had multi-staff, all of that. It has this different kind of stress when you have a multi-staff. And by the way, praise God, you, Baruch Hashem, you have a couple of guys to help Grant. I think a man and a woman. Thank you for doing that. You have a good congregational leader. He's a good man, godly man. But listen, there was a Sunday night group. There were about 25 people. And they wanted to shut it down because it was a big building, cost money to turn on the lights. And they said, well, we want to shut it down. I said, well, who attends? I was the new pastor. It was all these old people. Like, you know, me. I said, oh, my goodness. Okay, 25 people. I said, you know, let's not shut it down. I said, this is a big church in some parts of the world. 25 people. I said, let me do something. You know what we did? That was part of my heart anyway. We would, let's say we taught John 1, 1 through 3 Sunday morning. We would teach John 1, 1 through 3 Sunday evening, but go deep into the Jewish roots, into the Hebrew, into the Greek. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, not making this up, no embellishment here. Within a 6-month period of time, Grant, within 6 months, there were around 155, 160 people. Went from 25 to 150 people in 6 months. People are hungry for the Jewish roots of Christianity. They're starving. And God has given you a shepherd who feeds and teaches you. That's why you are growing. And there's a sweet spirit here to commend you. Now, I speak in a lot of Messianic congregations as well, churches, mostly churches, some congregations, Messianic congregations. Excuse me. There is an identity crisis out there. And only a handful have I experienced that has, let me just say it this way, there's a holiness. There is a peace and a gentleness, a healthiness, and that's what I have experienced here this morning, the last hour with you. So, keep on, Beth Tikkun. Now, so, disregard the notes. However, you got this other little white thing? Okay. Now, it's perforated in the middle. What I would like to do for you, simply because as a congregation, you help underwrite what we do, and we're going to show you, because there are new people here, we want to introduce you how it works, what it looks like, but also tell you what is going on in Israel and her neighbors. But it's perforated, which is meant to be torn. So on the count of three, let's get this out of our system, because you won't want to do this while I'm speaking. It's like, oh, I don't want to do this because the guy is speaking. On the count of three, let's do this. One, two, three. Whew. Okay. One part you keep so you can pray for us. And the other part, I want you to choose a book or booklet. And it will be our gift to you. We simply want to bless you and to say thank you. Here are samples of the book. My latest book is entitled First Words, covering Genesis 1 through chapter 2, verse 7, simply explaining why Moses said the things he said in chapter 1 on through 2, verse 7. This has been received very well, and which we just thank the Lord for. And the other is Song of Songs. And I must tell you this, congregation. When I was a pastor, did I tell you I was a pastor for a long time? When I was a pastor, you know, I was an expositional kind of guy. We went verse by verse by verse. We did topical during, you know, the holidays, this and that, 4th of July, whatever. But we took the congregation through the Bible. When we got to the Song of Songs, I'm telling you, when we got to the Song of Songs, okay, you know how couples are like what you guys are doing around it, you got about like 18 inches between you? Okay, about 3 weeks into the teaching, couples were getting closer and closer and closer. And curiosity, they wanted to know what Pastor Jeff was going to say in verse 8, you know, in the next week. And exponentially, the congregation grew. And I'm not making this up. 9, 10, 11, 12 months out, we had a little mini baby boom in the nursery. Now, so apparently, this is a church growth book as well as a couples book. So I just want to tell you this. I'm not making it up. It took us 8 months to go through it. It was just, anyway, it was great. It was great. So please just check what you want. Tell us where you want us to send the book. We'll send it to you, our gift to you to say thank you. All right. There's a lot of hatred today, a growing hatred for the Jew, as you know. And we'll be talking about this. So we're going to do a dance with Kim. We're just going to say next. this is where we work. Part of the year we're here. And as Grant said moments ago, what we do, we work with a couple of organizations, a couple of congregations, and a couple of organizations. One organization is a secular organization, and we'll tell you a little bit more about this as we go along, where we work with non-believing Jews, and they want a messianic/evangelical organization to help them, and we are helping them. And we'll explain how that works. And we work with what is called the International Christian Embassy and two congregations. We come alongside and empower them. And we're able to do things that a lot of organizations are unable to do or individuals are unable to do. And it's not what you say, but it's what you do. You're known by what you do. And over the years, we have earned respect within Israel, that we are in the homes of dignitaries now, religious leaders, civic leaders. They know what we're doing. We started under the radar because it's against the law to proselytize. We are now on the radar. And the Lord is doing some magnificent things. We'll show you here. But we work here in the Middle East. Next, please. We take groups over teaching. They're basically teaching tours, ministry tours, where they see all the holy sites. But then they meet the children. We help feed kids, and we feed Holocaust survivors, and they have opportunity to be with the children and to be with the Holocaust survivors. Next, this is at the Garden of Gethsemane. Next, we take... I got to tell you about this group. And one of the guys are here. Norman, how you doing? Thank you for being here this morning. Okay, not making this up. 1 year, this was a small group. It was all men. Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you have these six men. One is a football coach, one is a cop, one is a pastor, one's a city manager, one is a postal worker, and me, and our driver friend, Fuad, and we're in a van for 10 days. We did not know that when we got out of the van, this green cloud kind of followed us around. You know what I'm saying? And it was magnificent. So we had a great time with these guys. We took them. They dipped their toe into Gaza. We went up close to Syria. We went places and gone places that you wouldn't normally take a mixed group in terms of a tour. But 6 months later, this happened. Next, please. Women. I'm not making it up, making this up. It was all men. Next group was all women. And these women were very genteel. And about day three, they started to do the bandana thing and go, you know, they stood tall. I didn't say next. But they stood tall. And when they got around the children, whom we helped feed and provide educational materials for, that maternal instinct kicked in. It was a beautiful thing, a beautiful thing. Next, we work both sides of the wall. There's been a lot of talk about walls lately. This is the security wall in Israel. And it's not to keep anybody out or in, but to have people go through checkpoints and have proper paperwork. What a concept. Right? And that's how big the wall is. And there's a story. Louise and I did climb over, not this particular wall, but the wall at one point because we had to. But that's another story. When you invite me next time to fill out the notes that you're not using, I'll tell you the story. Next. We work with rabbis. Listen, you know you have Christian schools, private schools. This beloved rabbi, he's not a believer in Yeshua, but I don't know, he may be. Listen, we help him provide food for the children in his little school, his little synagogue school. Listen, he and I, you know, what would a rabbi and someone like me talk about? What do you think we talked about? We talked about the holy books, Grant, the Talmud, the Mishnah, the Tanakh. He says, you'd be surprised how much I believe what you believe, but I can't do anything. I said, I understand. I understand, Rabbi. It's all good. It's all good. I said, I don't know. Yeah. Next, we work with Arab pastors. How many have heard of Brother Andrew? God smuggler? That's the guy in the middle. I know, right? That's the guy in the middle. It was like being with the Apostle Paul, Rabbi Shaul. I learned so much from the guy. And the guy on that side, that's me. I let it grow sometimes and just simply to cover up the ugly sometimes. But it works for me. It works for me. So we work with rabbis. We work with their pastors. Next. 1 in 3 kids are hungry in Israel. We'll explain why in a moment. Next. Do you remember a couple of years ago when in France, Jewish people were killed? It was in the shops. Remember that? Netanyahu said this, Israel's the only place where Jews can truly feel safe. He says Jews deserve security in every country. But we say to our Jewish brothers and sisters, Israel is your home. When he said that, the people in Europe were livid. Well, Jews are leaving Europe. Next slide. So why does the world hate the Jew? Next. You know, I presided over a Seder a couple of weeks back. I'm sure as you guys experienced the Seder here. And it was this congregation's first Seder. It was fascinating. It was wonderful. One of the hardest thing to lead goyim in a Seder is, listen, the meal. I said, no pork, no lobster. You know, no shrimp, please. Keep it kosher. And it was hard for them. They said, well, what about, and you know, Aunt Susie bakes cakes. You know, no leaven. You know, it was difficult for them. But listen. Oh, it was fun. It was great. There was 150 people, and the congregation was like 200. So 150 of those folks came. And we went through the whole thing. Oh, when I dipped the parsley, I choked. It was funny. Okay. First time in 30 years I choked over a parsley. You know, it's okay. But it was great. You know what the report was? I digress. We'll get to back to Pharaoh here in a minute. You know what the report was? Is that, okay, this was, well, you know, it was a Good Friday, right? On Easter, on Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, they said the Spirit, something happened to that congregation. And reports came back to me that it was different. Oh, you just got to know, people are hungry. Pharaoh enslaved Israel for 400 years. 400 years, God was silent, seemingly. And then the prophet came with the message of the blood and the lamb. Between the two covenants, there was 400 years of silence. And then the last prophet, John the Baptist, came. He didn't say, behold the Savior, behold the King. He said, behold the Lamb. Same message. Pharaoh tried, by enslaving Israel, basically eradicating Israel, he failed. Next slide. Haman. You know this story. And if you don't know this story, how many of you guys, especially you guys, watched the movie 300? Remember that movie? This is Sparta, boom. Remember? Okay. Xerxes, the strange looking guy, the bad guy. Xerxes of the book of Esther. History tells us that, as you know, you may know, that Xerxes was having a party with the men, and Vashti, his wife, his queen wife, was with the women, and he demanded her to come out wearing only the crown. Wearing only the crown. And Vashti said, ladies, what did Vashti say? No. Good for her. Good for her. Well, the king threw a fit. Basically, he ended up going to war. The movie 300, Xerxes, didn't go well for him. And his counselors say, you know, you should get another queen. So he went back. Here comes Esther. Mordecai wouldn't bow down to Haman. Haman said, who is that guy? He's a Jew. Who are the Jews? They rolled the dice, set the date. We're going to eradicate the Jew. Esther walked in, pleaded before the king. Haman failed to eradicate the Jew. Next slide. That's me before coffee. Herod, the wise men. Where is this one to be born? Bethlehem. Well, you find him, come and report to me. You know the story. The wise men left. Herod was angry. He took soldiers in, killed the baby boys 2 years of age and younger. Today, you can go to the Church of the Nativity, and underneath all of that is this place, a little cemetery with about 45 sepulchers, little sepulchers, where they say this is the graveyard of the baby boys that Herod killed. You can go there and see this. It's right next to the place where Jerome wrote the Latin Vulgate. Next to the place where Miriam gave birth to Yeshua. Herod failed. Pharaoh failed. Haman failed. Herod failed. Next. He almost succeeded. Next slide. Almost succeeded, but he failed. Next slide. Today, Hezbollah, they're up in Lebanon. Hezbollah means party of God. Hezbollah is a proxy of Iran. It's fascinating. Russia basically supplies and empowers Iran, who in turn supplies and empowers Syria, who in turn empowers and supplies Hezbollah, who influences also Hamas. These folks, Hezbollah, They have literally tens of thousands of rockets at this very moment aimed at Israel. Next slide. Hamas. Hamas is Hebrew for violence. Obadiah, verse 8, 9, and 10, talking about the violence against Jacob. That's good. That one slide moves for some reason. I don't know why. But Hamas, if you're keeping up with the news, they have pressed 20,000 Gazans up to the border to provoke the IDF. And as you know, if you're up with the news in that part of the world, there have been people killed. And Hamas says that this will intensify and culminate by May 14 and 15, when the embassy, the United States embassy, is relocated in Jerusalem. I will be there with Jared and Ivanka, right? And to see the opening. Where the embassy will be is only a few blocks from a place. Rob, it's, from where we stayed, it's about a mile, if that, from where we stayed. In a village called, in a town, an area called Arnona. The children, the Palestinian children, want to grow up and be like Hamas. Next slide. ISIS, fortunately, these guys are diminished considerably, but the ideology still prevails. These are the Coptic Christians that moments after this photo was taken, the knives, they beheaded these guys. But what was daunting is when you're at the Syrian border, you're at the Golan or up on Mount Hermon, and you see Damascus in the distance, these guys were headquartered just beyond, about 25 miles that way. It was rather daunting. Next. These are the soldiers that will defend Israel and die if necessary. In Israel, when you're 18, both men and women, you graduate high school, you immediately go into the military. To me, they look like they're 12 years old. But be assured, these women are soldiers who know how to fight, who know how to defend. And that lovely lady in the middle is my beloved, Louise. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. These are the defenders of Israel. Next. Now, that's supposed to be a joke. If you read that. Yeah. You know, Israel, they're taking up all the land, you know. Next slide. Look at the terrorist groups that surround Israel. Next slide. I want you to understand something, Buckeyes. Now, I was born and raised here. You know what a Buckeye's a worthless nut, right? It's worthless. You know, you've heard that. But I'm speaking as a Buckeye to Buckeyes. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. Understand. Israel is 11,200 square miles. Next slide. Ohio is 44,825 square miles. You can put four Israels in the state of Ohio. Now just wrap your head around that. Almost 12 million people. Next slide. Israel has 8.5 million now. That's how small Israel is. And they're surrounded by enemies. Next slide. 200,000 rockets are aimed at Israel as we speak. Next slide. Since 2001, over 15,000 rockets have hit inside Israel. Now they have the Iron Dome, which is about 70% accurate, which means the 30% were part of this 15,000 that made it through. Buckeye, what would Ohio do if one rocket entered the state of Ohio? What would you do? You would respond, would you not? 15,000 rockets. Israel shows great restraint. It's usually after the you know, 5,000 rockets, 6,000 rockets, 100 rockets. Then they respond. And what does the world see? They see the kid with the slingshot in the Israeli tank. Fox News doesn't cover this. CNN definitely doesn't cover this. MSNBC doesn't cover this. But this is the truth. 15,000 rockets. Next slide. There are missiles, sophisticated missiles, that can hit every city in Israel now. Next slide. What happens when a rocket is launched? A siren goes off. And when the siren goes off, in English it's called the red color siren. When the siren goes off, people have 15 seconds approximately to find shelter in some capacity. This is an actual photo in real time. These kids live in this apartment complex. They're running towards something. Next slide. They're running toward, you see the little white building, the little dome bell-shaped thing out there? That is a bomb shelter. If you live on the fourth floor, you're just not going to make it. And I spoke to a father who cared. They had three children. He was able to carry two. The other one had to follow behind Dad, Abba, as they were running for the bomb shelter. Next slide. They have these things on top of the ground. You'll see them. And if you go on a tour, you're not going to see these things. You're just not going to see these things. You have to go into the neighborhoods. You have to go into the buildings. In the school buildings, and if they don't have the outside bomb shelter, they have what they call a protective room. Just made out of metal and all of that, just very thick metal. I've been in those rooms. But these things are, you know, like those sewer things that we put in the ground, those culverts or whatever we call them here. These are on top of the ground. They make them like caterpillars and butterflies. Why? Because if a rocket hits in the community, this is in a town called Sederot, right up, borders up next to Gaza. Because if a rocket hits, shrapnel's going to go. Next slide. This is what they do. They're in there to protect themselves from the shrapnel. If you're driving down the road, your baby's in the back seat in the car seat, you hear the siren, you stop, you get out, you get your child out, and you run for one of these protective areas. There's a lot of PTSD in Israel. Speaking with teenagers, we don't have a chair here, but pretend I'm sitting, and a teenager will just rock. Not even realize they're rocking back and forth. I spoke to some school teachers. You're going to see a photo here in a little bit. Where the wind blew, the door shut. And they jumped out of their seats. They're at the border there with Gaza. In Sederot, which is just south and east of Ashdod and Ashkelon. Next slide. This is for real. Now, when I was a kid, we did this, you know, the nuclear stuff, which is kind of silly if you think about it. We were under the wooden desk. But this is for real because there are conventional rockets dropping. If they don't have enough time, you're a child, you're in a schoolroom, you don't have enough time to go to the protective room or to the bomb shelter, you get on the floor. This is a real photo, real time. The siren was going off. These children experience this regularly. Next slide. This is a school building, a school room of a school building. We were there. Remember I told you where the wind blew the door shut? A month earlier, I was there speaking to the teachers. A month later, a rocket hit the school, the place where I was seated with the administration and the leaders of the school. Next slide. This is a kindergarten room in Be'er Sheva. The Hamas, they're brave, aren't they? They fire rockets and hit kindergarten buildings. Next slide. Real students, real time. Next slide. Real mother, real daughter. Next slide. This is what happens. What would you do, Buckeye, if that was happening here? And the world condemns Israel for standing up and defending herself. Next slide. So why the hatred? It's a good question. Why? Let's look at it theologically and practically here very quickly. Next slide. First of all, the Abrahamic covenant says, basically, it says many things regarding land promises and so forth. But the key verse that we're all familiar with, I will bless those who bless you. Curse those who curse you. You know why the world hates the Jew? Because they hate the God of Israel. They have tried to thwart his plan of redemption from Pharaoh, from Haman, from Herod to Hitler. All these H words, interesting. Hamas, Hezbollah. They hate the God of Israel. Listen, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. The little word with is the Greek word pros, which means face-to-face intercoursing. John 1:1 is before Genesis 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was intercoursing, interfacing constantly with, facing each other, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. That's why it was so profound when Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Habakkuk said that God cannot look upon iniquity. The unspeakable name of God, Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh, cannot look upon iniquity. Many theologians believe if it were possible, when he who knew no sin became sin for us, in order to give us his righteousness, he said, why have you forsaken me? If it were possible, it would be as though God the Father would turn his back against God the Son because he became sin. That's the idea. But then you read in the English, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. And those English lit majors here, you'll appreciate this. The subject is always before the predicate in English. But in Greek, it's turned around. It wasn't in the Word was God. It's theos en ho logos. God was the Word. The predicate is first. God was the Word. Memra. God was the Word, and the Word became what? Flesh. You know what? They hate the God of Israel. Who is the God of Israel? God was the Word, and the Word became flesh. They don't like Jesus either, Yeshua, because he is, in the flesh, God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if you really don't like the Jews, and listen, the anti-Semites, they're not the brightest bulbs on the tree. They're not. Before email, now if you're under 40, let me explain something. There is a thing called an envelope, and you write something down, you put it in the envelope, you lick the thing, put a stamp on, put it in a magical box, and it disappears. And then a couple of weeks later, it returns magically, and you open it, and there's a letter in response. Well, back in the 90s, in Chicago, when I was in directorship with Hyman Appleman's ministry, we had a lot of haters leaving messages on the answering machine. And that's where you had to dial. You know, okay, never mind. And this one person wrote a nasty gram. There was feces in the letter. But you know the three lines in the upper left-hand corner? The return address? The moron put his return address. And we called the police, the detectives followed up, and here he's, sure enough, a member of the Ku Klux Klan, right? Okay, I digress, didn't I? If you really don't like the Jew, you're not going to like John 5:22, where Yeshua said, all judgment is given to me. That means the Jew's going to be judging. Boy, that would really upset you. Okay, next. The world divides the land in an attempt to discredit God. Joel 3, one of the reasons for Armageddon is because he's angry at the nations for dividing up the land of Israel. It's all about Jerusalem, by the way. It's all about Jerusalem. We don't have time to go into all of that, but it's all about Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the key. Nations will rise up against Israel, and many rabbis believe that this is beginning to take place, as well as evangelicals. They call it the same thing we call it. Gog and Magog, Battle of Gog and Magog. where a power from the north empowers Persia, which is Iran. You understand, though, however, Iran has 20th century borders. Persia was much bigger and broader. When you look at the nations biblically, it is a more broader scope. But a power from the north empowers Iran, who's the head of a coalition that will come against Israel. In the 2006 war with Lebanon, the news anchors, Channel 2 and Channel 10, it was Channel 2 in Israel, where the news anchors said, could this be the beginning of Gog and Magog? Can you imagine a news anchor person talking scripture like that? But the rabbis believe this will bring the Messiah. Evangelicals believe and messianics believe that when this unfolds, this war that is to come, this coalition against Israel, that Yeshua will return. And eventually all nations will go against Israel, including the United States. There's a biblical principle. Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me. He that gathereth not with me scatters abroad. If we remain neutral, one day Israel's going to do something stupid, and whoever's in the administration, if we remain neutral, biblically speaking, we are therefore against. The scripture says that eventually all nations will come against Israel. Next slide. Practically, there's good and evil. The first mention of the gospel you find basically in Genesis 3, where the second coming of the Messiah is mentioned first, where the seed of the woman will crush the head of Satan and his seed. But then Satan will bruise, and the first coming is mentioned second, interestingly enough, where Satan will bruise Messiah's heel on the cross. Satan has always tried to derail God's plan, as you know, Isaiah 14. I will do this, I will ascend, I will become God. There's been this war going on. And the thing that I'm fascinated with most of all is Jeremiah, the chapter where we have the new covenant. But also in chapter 31, God said to Israel, listen, as long as there are stars in the sky, you're going to exist. Listen, if Pharaoh, Haman, Herod, Hitler, Hamas, if they succeed, then this book is a lie, and God is a liar. And by the way, God is not a liar. Jewish book, Jewish prophets, priests, and kings, Jewish kingdom. This is why the hatred. It's an attempt to discredit God. Next. 1 in 3 kids. Next. 1 in 3 children live below the poverty line. Now, for a long time, no statesman acknowledged that in Israel. It's a matter of pride. Israel has a great military. They have food. They export food. They have industry. They have technology. Most of Israel is poor. Jerusalem, technically, is the poorest city in Israel. Most of the religious live there. They're poor. 1 in 3 kids. Next. Shimon Peres, who is no longer with us. He was prime minister, then president. Finally, somebody acknowledged the truth of this. He says, regarding the 1 in 3, the 35% of the country's children living in poverty, he says, quote, it is a serious indictment against ourselves. Israelis are embarrassed, but it's there. But that opens the door for something. We need to remedy this. Next slide. So what's our response? And again, this is an introduction to most of you, or many of you, of whom this is the first time you've heard about us or experienced this. What is our response? This is what it is, folks. It's so simple. It's not rocket science. Next. Okay. Sorry. This is a Michael Jackson concert. Sorry. And I can't do the moon dance thing here. This is not poetry in motion. But I couldn't get enough an image to explain this. Okay, 72,000 people. This is in England, Michael Jackson, if you can see the little sign there. Okay. All right. Okay. 2.5 of these slides here. Fill them with Jews and Arabs. Our response to this. We have provided, God has provided, over 160,000 meals for men, women, and children. It would be as though we have given one meal to 2.5 times what you're looking at here of individuals, given them a meal, and a verbal, written, or just the act of compassion itself presented the gospel, the good news of Yeshua, directly or indirectly. Next slide. One child at a time. Look, he went for the cookies. You know, you got to have cookies in there. Over $300,000 have gone towards humanitarian relief in just the last few years. And you have helped us do that, some of you. Next slide. That's what a meal looks like, an average meal, just simple. This organization that we work with the children, I must tell you this, it's a secular, Israeli secular organization run by non-believers. They asked us for help. So we've been helping. And they, you know, there's usually church people go over there and do one-time thing, and that's great. They do the mission trip, and they do the one-time event, and never show up, never return. Guess what? We returned again and again and again. We have given the secular organization over $100,000 to help feed the kids. There's 250 kids in 8 homes. They all have been abused physically, mentally, sexually. Some are orphaned. And they said, well, can you help us with something else? I said, what else do you need? They said, we need educational material. I said, great. What's that? And a Hebrew and an English grant for preschoolers. Boy. So I said, let me work on it. So I called around. There's a place in New York. They have preschool educational material, both in Hebrew and in English. But they didn't know what I was inquiring for. They said, well, Dr. Johnson, we must give you a heads. We must tell you this, though, before you purchase this. These are all Bible-related materials. Are you okay with that? We'll deal with it. Thank you. No kidding. I'm not making this up. It's like Bert and Ernie teaches Hebrew for real. And it's like Kosher Land, David and Goliath, Adam and Eve history, Gideon's 300 math, you know, stuff like that. And Jewish holidays, all in the Tanakh, you know. So we provide biblical education for the children now as well. Fascinating. They're not believers. The director, Noya, I think you met Noya. She's going to be in our home in September, Grant. Pray for her. She was a politician in the Knesset, became disenchanted with politics. Who knew? And she wanted to do something significant with her life. We've known her now 6 years or so, seven, however long it's been. She's going to come to our home during the High Holy Days. It's Evangelical Central there in my home. You know what I'm saying? Pray for her. Noya is her name. Next slide. Not only are children hurting, 1 in 5 Holocaust survivors. There are about 185,000 Holocaust survivors in Israel, 50,000 of whom are not having a meal tonight. That's a shock, isn't it? 1 in 5. Next slide. Now, Rob may remember this young lady. This photo was taken, I think, when you were with me. That is Shoshana. Yeah, you, yes. Shoshana, her name is Rose, or it means Rose. She told us her story, and I'm going to share it with you because I promised her something that you'll find out here in a moment. Next slide. When she was 21, this is her at 21. We found that photo subsequent to our visit, Rob. There she is at 21. When she was 21, the Nazis came, took her family, her grandparents, her parents, her siblings, killed her parents, grandparents. I don't understand the science behind this, but they and the Nazis were evil with what they did and their experimentation. They took the siblings as well as others, and my words, not hers, but boiled them down somehow and made soap out of them. And the people in Auschwitz, the Jews in Auschwitz, they had soap. It was made out of people. Her siblings. And they took this young lady, Shoshana, they beat her, they spat upon her, they kicked her, they stepped on her, they defecated on her, urinated on her, raped her, sodomized her, over and 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 over again. And then the Allies came, liberated the camps. When we met her, we asked her how old she was. She was on 92. Next time we visited her, she was like 90. Next time we visited her, it was 95. She didn't know. We found out she's 98 now. Next slide. We're sitting there. Rob was with me when this photo was taken. She's telling us. And tears are in my eyes. Tears, if I recall, were in Rob's eyes. There was silence. There was another person with us. And she's telling us. And I mean, what do you say after that? And I asked her, I said, was it, and I struggled to even get these words out, how were you able to forgive? Or how did you? And she says, well, I had to forgive. Because if I didn't forgive, that would have killed me. And I said, well, how could you forgive? I don't know if I could. And her eyes danced. She said, Adonai helped me. And then she said, she asked me, she says, will you tell my story? When you speak, you know, go back to America. I said, I promise you, and I do. Just about everywhere I go. And sometimes I repeat it. I go back a few years away. I still tell her story if possible, if it's doable, if it's a part of the thing. I try to tell people the reality of this. Real people, real time. She's 98 years old. Now, I don't know if she's a believer. We talked about Messiah. I visited her several times. She remembers. She met Netanyahu, you know. And she remembers me. Of course, you can't forget this, right? But she remembered. And we talk about the Mashiach. And she, no, I know, one day he'll come. Pray. She's 98. Pray for her. Next slide. You remember the kindergarten class instead of this? This. Next slide. These are some of the children. They're abused sexually, physically, mentally. Next slide. This little one. This Ruthie. She would follow me around. They call Louise and me Saba and Safto, which means grandma and grandpa. And she was following me, and she's following right behind me, you know. And they're fascinated with this white beard, man. I don't, you know, it's a mixture of Santa Claus and whatever. I don't know, but it's just this white beard. Next slide. Instead of fear, next slide. This Mashiach's love, Messiah's love. This is simple. Didn't Yeshua do this? He fed people, right? And then what did he do? He taught. He loved on them. Next slide. This is a group from January. They helped plant flowers. The group that went with us, they helped plant flowers. The kids never planted flowers before. Just loving on them. Next slide. A little girl. Now, it's hard to understand a little kid in English, let alone in Hebrew. And she didn't say that. I just thought it'd be cute. Jesus will come from up there. But the lady in the middle is Noya. That's the politician who's now director of the homes, one of the directors. And it's through this woman, an unsaved, non-believing, she doesn't, yeah, you know, she's close. She's going to be in our home. Pray for her. She's going to be in our home. She's so close. She says, you keep on coming back. She said, we, Israel Today Ministries, is the greatest benefactor to this organization. It's all about relationships. It's not just about sending a check. It's about connecting. Not that checks help. But you understand. It takes that to move the machine. But it's about relationships. And we're in, because of her connections, we have been in the homes of political dignitaries and religious dignitaries, as well as just simply Israeli folks during Shabbat. And they do things a little differently than they do here in the States. I'm just telling you. I think when you, they even worship a little differently. But it's okay. Next slide. Kind of comes down to this stuff, doesn't it? And as much as you've done unto one, at least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. You did it unto me. It's King James. I'm speaking in two churches subsequent to this, and they're King James only people, so I put King James verses up there. You understand. And I have my King James Bible here. I got to brush up on these thous and didsts and all that. It's like you spit sometimes, you know. It's pray for me. It's not going to be pretty when I try to read the text. Okay. Anyway. But I tell people, and may I touch your shoulder, sir? May I touch your shoulder? And I tell people, listen, you go across the street, help the guy mow the grass, and you touch it, you bless him, it's as though you're touching Yeshua. That's the principle. You know this. And then to the Jew first, one of the things we have privilege of doing is being the bridge between evangelical and messianic. We gently take the goyim, the evangelical, and take them by the hand and walk them through and introduce them to the Jewish roots. You know, the thing that you guys do every Shabbat, it's a little scary to the average evangelical, but they're very curious because they're hungry. They know something's missing. Yeah, I told you about the Sunday night, 25 to 150 in 6 months. That's how hungry people are out there. We're kind of like a bridge. Next slide. I will bless those who bless you. Next slide. This is from our January visit. Little girl, will you help? And some of you are, and we thank the Lord for you. And corporately you are. We thank the Lord for that. Next slide. She was sexually abused. She had a little boo-boo on her hand, and one of the volunteers tried to put a Band-Aid on her hand, and she reeled. Because what do big people do? They hurt you. And they have to learn to love, to comb their hair, brush their teeth, wash their hands. This is all part of it, and we provide educational material, which is biblically based. And they are learning about about the Messiah, not specifically and directly Yeshua yet, but about the Messiah. Next slide. And that's Ruthie. Next slide. And I say this, and this is not toward you, because I understand your passion here, but this is for the evangelical. And I try to remind them, seriously. It's not just some, you know, there's Japanese, Chinese, Christianese, the Charlie Brown, the mwah, 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 you know, the world doesn't hear the Christianese. And I try to remind the evangelical, seriously, the Abrahamic covenant says, if you bless Israel, you will be blessed. And you look around all the flags that they have on their mission thing, and there's nothing on Israel. And I will remind them of that. I'll point that out. If they have me back a second time, yay. I walk in the room, you either love me or hate me. You know, it's that. But seriously, you will be blessed. I know you guys know that. Next slide. Yeah. I'll go anywhere, even here. I'll go anywhere and speak, any platform, anywhere. Universities, I spoke at Harvard, can you imagine? Kiwanis clubs. Seriously, yeah. Anywhere. Because I'll speak to anyone who will listen to help us feed the children and to feed the Holocaust survivors in order to open doors of earned respect to communicate why I follow Yeshua. Okay? It's that simple. And it works. A handful have come to faith. But it's the Middle East. That's what it looks like. A handful have come to faith. Next slide. I just want to tell you about her, and we'll turn it over to your beloved Grant. When they found out that Saba and Safta were coming, they wanted to dress in their best. Now, these are abused children. And she has her sweat shirt, top, and sweatpants, and they look like rain boots, the little purple things she's got on her feet. But she just kind of followed us around. She wanted to dress her best because, you know, Saba was there, Safta was there. And Now, you know, took the photo. But that's what it is. I can't say no to this. You understand? And it's my privilege to be able to help just a little bit. But that little bit means a lot in the life of a child, as well as in the life of someone like Shoshana. So I ask three things of you before we turn it over to Grant. One, that even though you're part of this congregation, I will remind you, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. It's about to get bumpy. No sensationalism here. No newspaper exegete here. It's just the players are set. Israel's moving their military machine on three fronts: Gaza, Hezbollah, and the military leaders. And Louise and I have had personal escorts to some very high-level military places and spaces. And they say to us that the attack will come from this direction, and they point to Syria. So Israel has their military machine on the three fronts: Syria, Lebanon, Gaza. And they're bracing. You know, they went last week into Syria, bombed some Iranian things. And Iran's upset. It's a matter of honor now. They said they would retaliate. And symbolism is important in the Arab world. Israel celebrating 70 years. It started a couple of days ago on the fifth day of Iyar. And will culminate around May 14 and 15. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Number two, if you think of Israel Today Ministries, Louise and I and our team, we have office help. We work with organizations in Israel, a lot of volunteers. If you think of us, we covet your prayers. And number three, even though corporately you support us, which we're so thankful, our principal support comes from individuals. If God touches your heart to help underwrite us, I simply ask you this. I'm not a salesman. I'm a Bible teacher. If God touches your heart to help us feed these kids and the Holocaust survivors, I just simply ask that you be obedient. If he doesn't touch your heart, don't. Seriously, don't. And I know God touches hearts and he doesn't touch hearts. But if he touches your heart, just be obedient. Beth DeCoon, thank you for your prayers, your corporate support. And I know some of you here help underwrite us. Thank you so, so very much. Grant, for your kindness, your hospitality, your gentleness, and how you're leading. Thank you for your prayers, Beth DeCoon. Lord bless you. Grant. All right. Yes, sir.
I don't know if I push this button too many times or not. I'm on. Very good. I won't belabor too long here, but while Jeff was speaking, did you feel that lump in your throat? And how many times did you feel that lump? Probably through the entire speaking engagement. And why is that? Was it because of the stories that we heard? Some. I think more so it's because of the deeper connection that Beth DeCoon has with Israel. Because the scripture says that believers are grafted into Israel spiritually. And that is true for all believers, whether they understand this connection or not. But especially for us that have given our heart and soul over the X amount of months, years, and decades to the Hebraic roots, to Israel, to loving the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It means that much more to us. That's why it's connected today. Question for you. Do you think we should support Jeff and Louise? Well, good news. We've been doing that for quite a few years. We've been doing it because when you give, whatever you give to BT, certain portion of it goes to, on a monthly basis, to ITM. Just so you know. So those that sitting here today that sacrificially give here, you have locked arms with Jeff and Louise and you really never knew it. You, through your giving, has touched Shoshana. You have knelt with the kids and fed them. In fact, every year, Jeff sends out a notice that during Hanukkah / Christmas, during Hanukkah, he raises money for those 10 homes, those 10 children's homes. And Jeff, you started out with your goal of raising $14,000, which would support one home. And then you set your goal for two. You reached the goal for two, correct? And Beth DeCoon every year writes a check for those children's homes. And again, as you give, unbeknownst to you, you now support one of those children's homes as well. Isn't that a blessing? I don't know about you, but Grant, I was in elders. I'm sitting there listening to Jeff today, and I'm thinking, I know he has so much more to say. He does prophecy conferences as well. I know we're a little gun-shy about prophecy, but we can trust Jeff. So I'm proposing that perhaps maybe this fall that we have Jeff back for a Saturday morning, maybe a Saturday evening, maybe two or three speaking engagements so that we as Beth Tikkun can take advantage of this man's knowledge and experience and his blessings and how God has touched him and how God is touching Israel through him and through us and through others. And I'm sure we can fill this place without any problem, especially if we invite Riverside as well. I want to ask us to stand. I want to ask Jeff, Louise, would you come down, please? He's hiding the better half of himself there, so we need her to come down.